You're listening to KDNK's special program today. It's For Land's Sake, and I'm Bill Kite, your host. And today we have Doug Winter, who is the president of the board, the Middle Colorado Watershed Council. Welcome, Doug.
I'm so happy to be here today and appreciate the invitation to talk about Middle Colorado Watershed Council and all the cool work that we've been doing.
Well, it's got some stuff coming up here we're going to be talking about today. And, you know, I looked at the website. I always look at the websites of people I have on nonprofits. And there's a lot that the Middle Colorado Watershed does that people don't know about. And so I think it'd be really good for one of us to talk about what's in that website, how you guys protect, enhance, and evaluate the health of the Colorado River. So what else do you do at the Middle Colorado Watershed Council?
Yeah, you know, the website is midcowatershed.org, and there are a lot of projects on there, and a lot of it is behind the scenes. You know, one of the key functions of our group is sort of a cross-jurisdictional, you know, behind-the-scenes group that helps to bring funding to shovel-ready projects that maybe don't fit squarely into, like, a municipality or a land management agency or something like that. And over the years, we've done a lot of work to help plan what are the biggest needs for the Middle Colorado, and then identify those projects that are in need and get them done, you know, even to the point of doing construction oversight for some of these things. And I should say the Middle Colorado is between Glenwood Canyon and DeBeck Canyon. So we have a large area, a large watershed, and the watershed is all of the creeks and streams that flow into the Colorado River between those two points, basically between Glenwood and DeBeck.
Which is about 75 miles, isn't it? And 2,200 square miles, is it? Yeah, I think that's the figure on the website. So that's a lot. That's a long ways and a lot of land.
Yeah, and you know, there's so much going on in there. There's you know, the towns that we live in. There's the trails that we hike and ride our bikes on. There's natural gas production. There's agriculture. You know, there's the river itself and all the species that live in the river and on the banks of the river. And there's a ton going on. And our job is really to make sure that all of those things can continue and that we're using the water in the most effective way to preserve those multiple uses.
Well, in your own words, tell me what's special about Middle Colorado Watershed Council that drew you to it.
Yeah, what I think is special is that we are not bound by a mandate of jurisdiction like a lot of other entities that are doing some of this work. And I'll be the first to acknowledge there are other folks who are doing projects that are similar in scope to us. And, you know, those would be like the BLM or the U.S. Forest Service or some of the municipalities. But those guys have boundaries around where they have to work. And the special thing about Middle Colorado Watershed Council is that we get to work on projects that don't fall squarely into one of those buckets or onto one of those types of lands. And I got involved, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show. I was looking for a way to get involved directly in the community in about 2016. And I looked at, you know, I've always been an admirer of KDNK, and I used to live down the street and, you know, came and saw the CD collections and stuff back in the day.
Right.
And I never became a volunteer DJ here, but I, you know, I looked at some other organizations, and what I was really focused on was something that I could use some technical expertise. I'm in a field that's related to watershed management, and I wanted something that had a direct local impact that was, you know, a local issues thing, and I could get involved and I could go to meetings with, you know, my friends and the people that I live down the street from, and we could solve problems together. And it is very much that. It's a very hands-on thing, and it's open. You know, it's an organization that's open to other volunteers and people in the community, whether they have just a little bit of time or a lot of time. MCWC is always growing and always looking to incorporate those perspectives. We're a very volunteer-focused organization.
And if you'd like to volunteer to that organization, the website will direct you in what to do, and that's midcowatershed.org. You know, you have a fundraiser coming up that I have a lot of fun going to and have in the past, and had people from Middle Colorado Watershed Council in and talk about it, and that is what? You want to tell us?
Yeah, it's the
surprise.
Wild and Scenic Film Festival.
All right.
I think we're on our eighth or ninth year.
Yep.
Going with the same similar format. It's always new films. They're always different from some of the other film festivals that you might hear about in the Valley. You know, there's a handful of offerings, but ours is really focused on, you know, watershed issues, and it's always a unique lineup of films, and they're always so interesting. We've got some really good ones this year. You know, if you follow us on social media, you can see some previews for some of those films, but you'll have to come to the Film Fest to learn more about it. And the event is on October 2nd at the Vaudeville in Glenwood, and on October 4th at the Ute Theater in Rifle. And
so October 2nd and October 4th.
Yeah, and while this year's general structure is similar to last year's, there is one notable exception. And that is that we have free admission for middle school and high school students to the Ute Theater event on the 4th. And we're doing that in partnership with Garfield County Outdoors to just help get more people involved and help get more people, you know, to learn about what we do, especially students in that, you know, really critical formative period where they're deciding what they want to do for work. You know, I remember being in high school and thinking, what should I do with my life? And, you know, having some formative experiences, having volunteered from an early age and being involved in the community really helped guide me to where I am today.
And that's a good place to start something, is to help out the youth so that they can get an idea of what exactly you guys do. And some of the neat films, they're always really good. I like it a lot. So I'll be there for sure. And if you got anything planned, put it on your calendar and make sure that you don't plan something during October 2nd or the 4th. And so that's going to be at 6 o'clock, I guess, is it, when it starts?
Yeah, I think so.
6 o'clock at...
Doors at 6.
Doors at 6, and the film start at 7. And at the theater, in Vaudeville Theater, you can have dinner there, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
That's
always
fun.
Vaudeville's got a great selection of dinner items and drinks, and... It's a really good time. We have fun with it. There's also some auctions, you know, some freebies. Everybody gets something.
Good. That's going to be another event you don't want to miss. You know, you're listening to KDNK's public affairs program for Land's Sake, and today our guest is Doug Winter, who is the president of the Middle Colorado Watershed Council. What projects are happening now, and what projects you got planned for the next few years?
We have one project that is actively under construction, and it's a fish barrier on Roan Creek, north of Parachute. And the fish barrier is designed to keep non-native species of fish from competing with a really special greenback cutthroat trout lineage that lives high up on Roan Creek. And it's a special population of fish because the Colorado Parks and Wildlife has identified that they have this unique lineage, and they need to preserve this population of fish. But it's hard because the non-native fish will outcompete for the resources. So we want to keep those two fish populations separate, and we're building a barrier. And it's a big concrete steel structure that physically separates the populations of fish while also allowing water to move through more or less as it would naturally. And, you know, we're always looking for multi-benefit projects. It's always more compelling to do something that benefits all water users, and that's really a focus of our group. And in this case, it's also an improved water diversion for one of the local water users. You know, they have a diversion off of Roan Creek, and it's been plagued by some difficulties, and so we are improving that diversion, keeping the fish population separate, and construction. I mean, I was just on a construction call this morning. They're well underway, and we're hoping to wrap up this fall so that they're ready for the spring irrigation season.
Sounds like an exciting time if you got a project that's going in something that important, because Colorado cutthroat trout is the fish for Colorado. And I fortunately, one year it was up at Trapper Lake, and they were catching the trout in a little kind of a weir there in the water. And they checked it every hour, and so it was up there. One of the, at that time, DOW guys had one that got caught and drowned in there. And so he gave it to me, and I had the best dinner that night for the big old Colorado cutthroat trout. So that's an important project.
They're really special. You know, the fish are really special, and we live in an area that has such unique, natural characteristics. And sometimes you got to get out of the office, get out of your car, step away from the phone for a little bit, and just appreciate what we have here. I mean, the gold medal fishing waters, like you're saying, we have these fish. Mm-hmm. We should appreciate them. We should take a moment to appreciate our natural surroundings.
For sure.
We have some other projects too. You know, in the next couple of years, we'll be kicking off more work on Rifle Creek. And again, that's squarely within our watershed that we focus on, from Glenwood Canyon to Debec. Rifle Creek is one of the key tributaries, and we've done projects over the years, including a couple of years of revegetation efforts to improve some properties right there along Rifle Creek between the reservoir and the river. And we've recently undertaken more systematic planning efforts. And again, this is including all the stakeholders. It's Colorado Parks and Wildlife. It's the private property owners. It's the City of Rifle, especially. City of Rifle has been an excellent partner. And we're looking at what are the most impactful projects that we could undertake on Rifle Creek, and we're starting the planning and design process. And then just real quick, also, we have some improvements going on to our interpretive center at the Rifle Rest Area. That's just on the south side of the river at the Rifle exit, main Rifle exit. It's called River Stop. There are some really cool exhibits on the inside. And we're wrapping up a mural on the outside. So encourage all of the listeners to go visit River Stop at the Rifle CDOT Rest Area.
And I forgot to do the disclaimer at first that the executive director of the Middle Colorado Watershed Council is my wife, Kate Collins. That's where her office is. And that mural project is, you got to see it. It's really nice. And you got some other projects too, like a fluvial hazard zone map you're doing for the county planning department, or with the county planning department, and that sounds like a important project.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there's some unique characteristics with our watershed and gravel pits and potential flood mapping and habitat improvements, and a lot of those things go hand in hand too, Bill. You know, it's like we have to work with what we've got, and we have to acknowledge both the benefits and the risks of the river that we live next to.
For sure. Yep. That's another project. And the big one that you're working on that will be important is the Colorado River Wildfire Collaborative.
Ah, yes. I would be remiss to forget, you know, especially with wildfires being such a topic of conversation, with, you know, big fires burning just adjacent to our watershed, both to the northwest and the northeast, just this summer. We understand that we live in a place that's prone to wildfire, and MCWC has been one of a couple of key partners helping to put together this Colorado River Wildfire Collaborative. And the goal is to get this stood up as an independent organization that can be laser-focused on fire hazard identification, prevention, mitigation. There's so much that happens that could happen before a fire comes that can lessen the impacts of that fire.
For sure.
Fires are inevitable. We know that the fires are going to burn around us. And you know, what can we do to be more resilient when those fires come? And what can lessen the impact of those fires afterwards?
And that's really important. Kate and I came from relatives in Riverton, home the other day, and that fire, Lee Fire, from Meeker all the way from Meeker to the junction there, the Peons Creek, 19 miles of fire that came rushing down toward Rifle. And the conditions now are improving a little bit with some moisture, but we are not going to make up the deficit for the drought. And in the future, these kind of fires that become catastrophic, really, the fire behavior is off the scale. So that's a really important project to be doing, too. So we'll have people come in and talk to us about that when it gets really going. Well, as the president of a nonprofit, having understood about nonprofits a little bit myself, being in one for 9 years, what are the Middle Colorado Watershed Council's greatest needs this time?
I'd say at this time, you know, as with the entire period of time that I've been involved since about 2016, our greatest need is more volunteers who want to be involved in the group. At a scale from a couple hours a year to a couple hours a week. You know, we have an awesome group of volunteers on our board of directors. We have a couple of committees that work on things like the film festival planning that we were talking about and other outreach and education type events. But there's a need for people to contribute their expertise and their eagerness to be involved in their communities. And what I've found is that, you know, the folks, everyone has something to contribute, and we can often identify a way to put people's individual experiences and their expertise, whether that's through work or just through something they're interested in. We can find a way to use that to grow the organization and more importantly, to promote the outcomes that we're advocating for, which is, you know, the sustainability and the connectedness of our communities. And, you know, this beautiful outdoors, like I was talking about just a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. If you have some time to contribute to the Middle Colorado Watershed Council, we could use it. That's our greatest need.
I helped with the cleanup there of the Rifle Creek back in spring. And, you know, it's important that people don't realize the little projects that they think are little turn out to be pretty big projects. Cleaning up rivers is important around here for sure. So there's always things to do in a nonprofit. Well, being a storyteller myself, let me ask you, what's the Middle Colorado Watershed Council's story?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've only been here for a part of it, but I'll relay what I can from the times before. And I think that MCWC was born out of a need to have, you know, an organization to fill the gaps and connect the jurisdictions, like I've talked about before. And in about 2009, this need was really identified, and people started getting together, talking about what to do about this reach between Glenwood to Dubec. And, you know, certainly there have been groups who have been working in this area for significantly longer. 2009 is recent history. But, you know, there's a need to have a group focused on projects in this reach that really understands and cares about the uniqueness of this region. I mean, we have things that are different between Glenwood and Dubec than we do between Aspen and Glenwood, or different than the needs of the Eagle River Valley, different than the needs of, you know, the Grand Junction area. And so there's a need to have a group consistently focused on the Middle Colorado reach. And in 2013, MCWC was officially chartered or incorporated. And since that time, we've had, I think, 3 executive directors. You know, we started off doing some smaller projects and more outreach and education focus and absorbing information. And, you know, we had an evolution of the group, and we were really focused on holistic integrated watershed management plan development, and that IWMP, Integrated Water Management Plan, was published in, I think, 2021, you know, building off of years of experience and the connections that we had. And that's really the framework that has set up, you know, the projects that we're looking at now and into the future. So I would say the IWMP was a major milestone for the organization. And, you know, within the last year or a couple years, Kate's come on board and we've have, you know, a new life and new vision as well. And we're moving onward and always tackling, you know, what the community has identified as the biggest need. And I think that's really the meat of it, is that we're always striving to listen to the folks in the watershed to understand what they think needs to be done. And we're able to maintain some independence and some vision because we are local. We live here. I mean, you know, we've got board members that are on city council, and we've got you know, board members who have lived here their entire lives, and you know, we are of this place.
That's important. A place is important, isn't it? A sense of place, especially. And I apologize. I said that Mary Evans, who is the Outreach and Education Committee Chair, was going to be on with us, but I guess she couldn't make it. So that's just the way things happen, but we'll maybe hear from her for another time. Or if you really want to volunteer for that committee, I'm sure that Mary would be glad to hear from you. Well, last of the things that we talk about, I think really one of the last things is, how can people get involved with Middle Colorado Watershed Council?
Yeah, I always refer folks to the website. It's a cool website because you can see a lot of the previous projects that I've talked about. You can read the integrated water management plan if you like. There's a concise summary at the front so you don't have to go through the hundreds of pages of a PDF.
Right.
and you can see, you know, a lot of the work that that we've done over the years. It's kind of summarized in the projects tab. And there's also a link there for how to get involved. And I direct people to that, you know, because they can send a little form email that goes to the group. We have two staff currently. It's Kate Collins is the director, and Liberty Costello is our program manager. And one of those two will get your email and forward it on to the right committee. And, you know, the other thing you could do, I'll say we have the next Outreach and Education Committee planning meeting next Monday, the 15th, at Veltus Park in Glenwood Springs. And we welcome anyone who'd like to drop by and see what a MCWC volunteer meeting is all about. We'll be pretty focused on the film festival because it's coming up in just a few weeks. But I, you know, I'll be there and I'd be happy to chat with anybody that would come by. So it's the 15th at 6 p.m., I believe.
All right. Yeah, I went to one of those at Veltus Park. It's fun. You're down near the water and water that goes into the Colorado River.
But yeah, Veltus is a great spot to meet, especially when it's a hot day out and you get those big shady trees. And,
oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, sometimes we'll have some food and drink there and just kind of, you know, it's for me, it's also about friendship. Some of my closest friends, you know, I've made through Middle Colorado Watershed Council. And, you know, it's just a good group of people. I think people who want to be involved in their community often have the most interesting conversations. You know, when you care, right? Like when you really care, it shines through and it's easy to make friends from all walks of life. I mean, all walks of life.
That's for sure. And it's not just a meeting to just be discussing things that aren't relevant to the world. It's really important. I remember you're recently going on a raft trip between Silt and Rifle. And that part of the river has just got so many wild animals. We saw an elk. We saw an eagle with a fish, eating a fish. We saw other animals, and it's just you wouldn't believe that section through the river is that wild still. So if you're a rafter, you know, think about contributing to Middle Colorado Watershed Council.
Yeah, and I'd say, too, a lot of I talk about the local needs and the local interest that we have in this reach. So much of that is about fishing or hunting. You know, those are a lot of the traditionally most important those are traditionally valuable things to the people who live here now and have in the past. And, you know, we're focused on those things as well. A lot of our volunteers are big fish people, and, you know, we are always happy to see the fish getting caught and released, usually, unless you're an eagle.
Yeah, right. Well, in the last couple minutes we have here, what is the most exciting or the most memorable thing that's happened to you while you've been president of the council?
That's a good question. You know, I'd say I think back to a tour we took with Colorado Parks and Wildlife, where we drove up the JQS trail onto Rhone Plateau. I think this was last summer. And, you know, we were we were with Colorado Parks and Wildlife and the Bureau of Land Management in a UTV. Six of us in a six-person UTV, as I recall. And we went way back up there. I mean, you know, JQS Trail by itself is a pretty memorable experience.
It is. I've been on it once, and I tell you, it is for sure.
And then we went all the way back towards the East Fork of Parachute Creek, and we were looking for opportunities to improve habitat in some areas that had been grazed and are not currently being grazed, and, you know, helping to fix some stream bank erosion issues back there. And, you know, we hiked all over the place. I mean, I think we hiked like 6 or 7 miles that day, and just a beautiful, cool bluebird day, you know, not a cloud in the sky, and just green pastures as far as the eye can see. And it's a place that I've seen on a map for so long, but I hadn't been to, and I don't think I'd have a reason to go there without MCWC, and I'm so glad I did, because it's such a cool spot up there. I mean, it's right near where that fire burned that we were talking about. Yep. And that area that we were in didn't burn, but, you know, I think back on that, and I think, man, you never know, and I just, you can't take it for granted.
That's for sure, yeah. And so if you really would like to, I think you should go to the website, midcoloradowatershed.org. It's M-I-D-C-O watershed.org. And you'll find out more about the Middle Colorado Watershed Council. Well, Doug, thanks so much for being with us today. And I'm the host of For Land's Sake show, and our next program is going to be on October the 13th at 4:30. So tune in every second Monday of the month at 4:30. Until then, whatever you do, to Mother Nature, do it for land's sake.